This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 24th, episode 1683, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And before I say good morning, Horse World, our friend Glenn got older today. Good morning, Horse World!
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I'm still like a Monday drive over the weekend hungover kind of thing. And so I must admit that usually your birthday is when we're at Rolex. And
it is
knock
always,
up on me.
It's always at Rolex for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why. Rolex must be later this year.
It is because it's the last weekend in April. Just like the Kentucky Derby is always the first Saturday in May. Well, May 1st is on a Monday. Yeah. So Derby's late too.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, when I woke up yesterday and realized I was 55 today, that one hit me.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why that hit me more than 50. You know, sometimes people have these big things about 50, but 55, I don't know why 55 has hit me. Like, I'm 55.
Oh, I'm having the big one this year for me too. I think for women.
29 again?
Yeah, 29 again. I think 40 is really painful. So I'm going to just rock it.
I would take 40 right now.
I know. I just realized that you were like 15 when I was born. Ugh, you're so much older than me.
Yes, I am. We are two different generations. There's no question about that. It's funny. It's funny that we actually get along. But, you know, all my hosts are pretty much younger. So I'm the oldest one, I think.
Well, no other crazy person thinks about doing this for a living.
I started this, 9 years ago. So I started it when I was 46. Yeah. So, yeah. Talk about a change of careers later in life, huh?
You're an evil genius.
Or just evil. I'm not sure which.
Let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show. And I'm going to message you about the audio issue that I'm having here.
Okay.
Jennifer,
what's up? Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we hear firsthand how a toddler names a pony. That's right. We're going to hear it right here live on the show. And if that weren't sideways enough, Maggie Herlitsky is going to stop by to answer all of the questions you never thought to ask about riding a side saddle. And the wacky world of Horse Nation finds Leslie investigating the concept of failure is always an option. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
See, I think it's ridiculous she's doing this. She just wants us. Oh, well, that person didn't make it.
Let's do this with your audio issue. Let me try dropping you and bringing you back.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to help or not, but let's give that a try. Otherwise, I don't know how to fix her audio issue that she's having because I didn't change anything.
All right, I'm back.
All right, and I don't know if this is going to fix it or not, but I didn't change anything, so I don't know what to change.
We'll have to just see how it goes. Let's live it.
Let's do daily whinnies. All My Daily Winnies, actually two of them, go out. Well, a great big congratulations to Auditor Carly, who got married over the weekend to her horse fiancé, James. And she looked all spiffy. And did you see that smile in her pictures?
She's so happy. And she's in a beautiful, like, vintage-looking dress. It was amazing.
Yes, it was amazing. And it was a beautiful dress. It really looked good on her because she kind of got that vintage thing going anyway. So yeah, it really looked good on her. And also to Auditor Joy, who got a new OTTB from New Vocations. She had adopted a off-the-track thoroughbred from New Vocations, cute as a button. And we're going to try and get Joy on to do the new horse segment. So,
perfect.
Try and get her on for that.
Well, you better go ahead and play it then.
Do I have to play my own? You're not going to sing? The one day I would let you sing. I would allow you to sing today.
I'm still sick.
Oh, okay.
Let's show you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
That's my boy. There you go. Happy birthday, boss. I can't believe how many of these I've been on the air to tell you happy birthday for.
It's been six or seven. It's been a while. You know, and I'm always at Rolex. You're right. I think this is the first year in a long time we haven't been either traveling to or at Rolex.
Yeah, it's weird. It snuck up on me. Sorry, I didn't send any presents.
That's right. That's right. You can buy me a drink on Friday night. We'll be together. That'll even be better. We're not going to make the listeners wait today. We want to hear all about how the competition went on Friday with Precious, when you had to go out there and you had to ride her through a Grand Prix course and then do an entire freestyle with fire and hoops and jumping and how'd it go?
Well, you know, it was Precious's little first horse show. You know, she had some nerves.
No fire.
And there's many reasons why I have always said I don't want a freaking mare. No mares. No mares. And then Baby Zara comes out. A mare. Because good Lord has a sense of humor. Then I draw this thing. A mare. So we have to go into the arena and everybody has their horse. And it's like a horse show and everybody's lined up and they're taking pictures and I'll get some of those soon. So cute. I plaited her mane. I got like a little like thatched her mane. It was just like matted when I, you know, got it. So I got fifth combed out. It was perfect. Walk in. And one of the horses in the group is a stallion.
Oh no.
And she decided she was in heat.
Oh no.
Oh my God. I had her on one end, him on the other. It was like all the mares were on one end and he was on the other end. He is rearing. I have pictures of him rearing. He was just like, I love her and I need her right now. And she's like, I don't know what he's going to do, but I feel like I need to be over there. So she completed all of her tasks, which was to jump over the jump just on the line, to have all her feet picked up, and I rasp all of them, and she smiled. It did not go that quickly, nor in that order. It was like, stand here! She was supposed to have her feet picked up with no assistance, and of course I had to have somebody hold her. My back hurts, like it was a wrestling match. So needless to say, Precious's first show did not go very well. She completed it. She would have got that like ribbon of completion, but she would not get a blue.
She got a participation ribbon.
She got a participation ribbon. Pretty much that's it. But I think if she'd have been calm, like I feel like, you know what? Everybody did such a great job. So.
You're being a little humble because I did see the video. Debbie snuck a video in and posted
That was practice, though. That was practice.
Oh, that was practice? That wasn't the actual... Well, you should have taken the practice one.
I know. She was like perfect and amazing. But when that stallion got in there, she just went...
Maybe it wasn't
horrific.
A good idea to bring the stallion in until later.
You know, hindsight's 2020, Glenn. Hindsight's 2020. I didn't know she was going to be all like a little hussy and try to run off with him. So, yeah, hindsight 2020, but she did, but you know what? She completed her task and, I took her home. So we had,
well, that was the other thing. You took her home. How was it getting her in the trailer?
Well, we had done Monty's trailering methods, and it's so funny because people always go, it's a fluke. That's a fluke. You got that horse in that trailer. And then we did 14 in a row of like literally untouched horses, and it was a fluke every single time. It's so easy.
Hey, it's worked for both our horses. I mean, it just works.
It's crazy. If you do it, you just, oh my God, it's amazing. So 14 in a row, she practiced. She was absolutely perfect. I think somebody videoed it. And it was boring, though, because I just walked her into the trailer. She's like, okay.
But it was a long drive. Like, how'd she stand for that?
So, well, she practiced on a ramp. So I was a little nervous about the step up. Boom. She walks right into the trailer. And Zeus is already in there. And then she sees Zeus, freaks out, and runs backwards out of the trailer. Like, oh my God, there's a horse.
I'm not getting in there with him.
And then she immediately walks right back in.
Poor Zeus's manhood was crushed.
Oh, I know. He's like, son of a, what is that thing? He's already, you know, like lame and bloody from his adventures on Friday, which I don't think we've talked about either.
Oh, no, we have not. No, we have to talk about that. One adventure at a time. So,
I know. You're welcome. I'm that girl. I just provide entertainment in this stupid show. So she comes in and she went in great. She traveled like she was an old show pony. They both stopped. We stopped halfway and gave them water and they both drank. Like she ate. She was so happy and comfortable the whole time. It was crazy. But you know, when you go to a gas station, you're giving them water. People always go, oh my God, there's a horse. And there was probably 20 people outside my trailer, like trying to pet her. And she's just like, hi, I'm like a normal horse. This is fine.
Huh. Well, that's great. Yeah, uneventful trips in the trailer are always better. It's always the better option. And when you got her home, that was the first time Lucas got to meet her, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
what did Lucas think? Because she's a little black filly, by the way. You know how I like little black ponies. So she's a little black filly. And I guess she's going to stay black. She kind of has her malnourished coat that she'll lose and probably look a ton better.
Honestly, she's fairly disgusting right now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she has that coat. I know exactly. Scooter had the same coat. It's just from being malnourished, and it'll all fall out, and then she'll look better. So.
You know what? I can see on her shoulder. Like she's been eating for a month, free choice alfalfa and hay, and she literally doesn't. She's put on like a little weight. She looks good compared to the way she did.
So I guess Biotic 8 is one of the first things we're going to do for her.
I think that's fitting, but she wasn't getting any grain at Monty's, so she got a handful yesterday, so we'll work her up to it, and then I'll start dosing her with Biotic 8. But yeah, that's definitely what she needs. Yeah. She needs all sorts of omega alpha help. I'll go through the catalog later for the commercial and figure out what we're gonna buy her.
Chad, I love that.
So she came home no problem, new pony, and so I you know, her name is Precious at school, but I decided I was gonna let Lucas name her. And Lucas, for those who don't know, is my almost 4-year-old. And, you know, I didn't really, usually you buy a present for your kid when you come home, you know, and I was like, crap, I forgot a present. So I stopped off at Albertson's grocery store on the way
home. You bought him a pony.
Well, that's the thing is I bought this red ball, like a big, giant, like a grocery store red ball. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I've got a pony in the trailer. This is perfect. I'll say, here's your pony. So, but I had already bought the ball. So I'm on my way home and I'm driving. I'm like, I'm bringing you a present. And he's like, what is it? I'm like, I have a pony in the trailer for you. He's like, a pony? I'm like, yes. And I got you a red ball. He's like, can I have a red ball? Like literally the entire way home, all he talked about was the red ball. I call him again. He'd go, how big is the ball? like you, I bring the pony out. I bring the pony into the, to the stall. I'm like, here's the pony. He's like, where's the ball? So priorities, Glenn, priorities. But I let him name the pony and he's, well, frustratingly, he's named it about 27 different times, but twice I have recorded him naming the pony. So do you want to hear the first name he gave the pony? This is not the current name, but it was the first one. I thought it was official.
Okay, Lucas, we have all of these names to choose from. What we made on a list. Let's see. We came up with, with Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, or Millie G, or Bot SpongeBob. You came up with Fire Truck, or Snow White. You came up with Hot Lava. What is the name of your new pony?
Gallop.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
What is it again?
Gallop.
Like what horses do?
Stuff.
So what's the pony's name?
Gallop.
And you picked that bot. Why'd you pick Gallop?
Because I love him.
Why'd you pick the name Gallop?
Because I wanted that name.
Is it because you said you like to go watch horses with me run?
Yes.
Where do you like to go with mommy? You can't whisper it. You have to say it.
Horse racing.
Say it again, louder.
Horse racing!
Horse racing. My son, I'm so proud. So what is the pony's official name?
Gallop.
Say it for real.
Gallop!
All right, giddy up, Gallop.
Because I love him.
Daddy, I love him.
With the whole girl boy thing, I get that mixed up today too. So, you know, that's not a big deal.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, I keep posting about Precious and people are like, he's this and he's that. I'm like, his name, like, clearly is Precious. Is that a boy name? No. So he came up with that name and he had said originally because he likes to go watch horse races with mommy. I was like, yay.
Yes, you're such a good influence on your child.
Such a good influence.
That's a gamble too. You give him $2. He gets to go up to the window.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put $2 on it for Lucas. We did. Then he renamed it later because I wasn't happy with Gallop. So I massaged a renaming.
Oh, you coaxed this into him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that.
All right, Lucas. Oops. We brought a little cute pony home, and you've decided to name her. What did you name the pony?
Magic.
Officially, her name is Magic.
Yes.
Because we've said many times you've come up with several different names today, so this is the final official name is Magic.
Because why?
Why are you naming her Magic?
Because I want to. Because I want that name.
That's a good name. So, Magic Jennings, right?
Yes.
Does she have a middle name?
Magic like Gallop. My name, like Gallop.
Magic Gallop Jennings?
Yes. And the middle and the front is Gallop. And it's Magic, too.
Magic.
His name is Magic.
Magic it is. All right.
I think he's still confused. I think he's not quite sure.
Well, then he was calling her Precious. And I was like, wait a second. What's the damn name of the freaking pony? So he has a crop that looks like a magic wand that somebody left here. And so he like always goes out. He's like, magic, like some crappy kids TV show taught him how to say a magic spell. So he says it and he points at her and he's like, magic. I was like, okay, so that's the name then? He's like, yes.
I kind of liked Gallop because it wasn't your typical pony name, and now we've got a typical pony name, Magic.
It was Gallop. I go tack up Gallop. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't flow off the tongue.
Yes.
You know?
That's true.
It's confusing when you say, I'm going tack up Gallop, and you're going, were you going galloping? You know, it's
yes,
just kind of
exactly.
confusing.
Exactly. That's why I was like,
yeah, that is kind of, so as a middle name, it really works. Magic Gallop Jennings kind of works.
Magic Gallop Jennings. And now
using a verb for a name is probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, exactly. The only one that knows English came up with that, Jennifer.
I know. So. She's so smart.
I couldn't come up with verb there if I wanted to. Well, we have to hear Zeus's story, but we're going to get to that a little bit later, because Zeus continued his reign of being a master escape artist. But we're going to tell that story in a little bit. But first, we have to get to an interview today. And I haven't even heard this one yet, but it should be fun.
Yeah, so these are two South Africans that were in my class, and they did something that is ridiculous and amazing. And I just wanted to, and I think I said this on the interview, but they were on Debbie's show to talk about it, but they only briefly talked about it. So I wanted to get into the trip a little bit more, this amazing trip that they took. And just so you know, I was in the office of the school. So people were kind of coming in and out and they're like, let's go. We have to take pictures. Let's go. And I was like, I'll be in just a minute. So I worked really hard to get all these interviews for you, Glenn. So here it is. It's Hanalei and Beatrice from South Africa.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I'm sitting here with two of my classmates, Beatrice and Hanalei. State your full name because I apparently talk too fast for them, so they are not clear as to what I'm saying all the time.
Okay. My name is Hanalei Bremer.
Stop moving. I'm Beatrice Bezuidenhout.
And that's why I didn't say their names. Now, Hanalei and Beatrice just finished the course with me, and congratulations to all of us, by the way. Now, what I wanted to talk to you guys about is, I know that Debbie and Horsemanship Radio covered a little bit, but I just wanted to get a little more in depth and tell people exactly what you did. These two amazing kids, and they're kids because they're younger than me, and they're under, well, sort of under 20 and 20. Okay. So at the age of 18 and 19 or 19 and 20, hopped on horses and rode in South Africa, just south of Johannesburg, all the way down to Mussel Bay. That is 1,520 kilometers, or for those of us who speak in miles the correct way, it's a 1,000-mile ride. It took 83 days. You guys left on December 1st in 2016. So this was like really, really soon. I mean, this was not long ago at all.
No, not at all. I mean, we came back from a trip and we had a month to pack and arrange visas to come here. Yeah.
And so you guys have had a whirlwind trip. Now, what I asked Hanalei if I could say this. You guys are a couple and you're dating and you're the cutest things I've ever seen. And I can't wait to not get invited to your wedding. But someday it's going to happen. And, you guys, first of all, hopefully you guys will understand Beatrice. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand him, but tell me a little bit about REACT.
Okay. Well, REACT, stands for Riding Expedition Against Cruel Training. And that was the whole mission behind our trip. We wanted to create awareness in South Africa of better ways of training horses.
So, Hanalei, what is a typical way that people train horses in South Africa?
South Africa is still very traditional. Personally, I think there's a lot of education. People don't know how horses' mind works and nobody has ever taught it to them. So they're used to being, to break a horse's spirit. That's the method they mostly always use. There's a lot of cruel training, violent training. Sucking out is still the commonly accepted way of training horses.
So did you guys create this business REACT?
Yes, we did everything ourselves. Yeah, we created everything. It's still, now it's not a business yet. It's still just for the trip. It was to create awareness, but we're trying to evolve it into a business. Yeah.
So tell me about the trip. I mean, you guys, we rode horses through South Africa and not to be whatever, but South Africa is not always the friendliest place in the world. So you're riding through South Africa on what? Tell us about your horses.
Well, we took four horses. We started out, in the end, it was six horses that did a part of the trip. Yeah, so we started out with two riding horses and two pack horses. Four of them were SA Boerpaards.
Yeah.
And the one was a Thoroughbred Warm Blood Cross. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just a horse.
Just a horse.
Just a horse. Yeah.
What were their names?
Okay, well, it was Tommy and Tabak with a Boerpaarder.
And that's a South African breed, by the way. Boerpaarder. Say that again.
Boerpaarder.
Boerpaarder. I did it. Sort of.
And then we had Sabatini was the horse.
The horse.
And then Apollo was a Thoroughbred Warm Blood Cross. He was just there to like substitute for a while, and then he went. Then at a stage we had Diva, it was also a Boerpaard, as well as Samoa. Yeah, Samoa was the other one.
Were they trained horses? Were they? Tell me about how they kind of started out as a trip. Because we have a movie here in the United States called Unbranded. And from what I understand, this seems like kind of a similar get on the road and giddy up kind of thing.
Yeah, so we had to arrange all the horses ourselves to use for the trip. One of them, Sabatini, was a school pony, so he was our safe spot.
Yeah.
And the other boot birds we trained ourselves. I mean, they had saddles on before and a rider on before, but they were almost remedial. They did not trust humans at all. I mean, they were used to being pushed in a chute, put on a saddle, put on a rider, and that's it. So we had to work very hard on gaining these horses' trust. And I think we got them 6 weeks before our trip.
Yeah.
So you had 6 weeks to basically get them ready for your expedition. So you're on the road. You start December 1st. You said, Hanalei, that the first 2 weeks, you're fine, Denise. The first 2 weeks were, I'm sorry, the 2 weeks leading up to your trip were, I believe the word you said, was hell. Tell me why.
We had so much discouraging thoughts from so many people, criticism. It was unending. Things weren't working out. We had so much money that we still didn't have, so much equipment those 2 weeks before that we didn't have. And those 2 weeks before we launched the trip, it almost looked like it wasn't going to happen. Yeah, but something in us, I think it was good because we really had to learn to listen to our own voices, not out of everyone around us.
And so, Petrus, who were the most supportive and who were the most, the biggest detractors?
Well, the most supportive, I think, were our parents, probably. And
your parents, she says.
Well, my parents were very supportive, right from the beginning to the end. They were luckily both adventurers when they were young as well, so it wasn't something funny to them. Yeah, and criticism came from everywhere. We got a lot of people that didn't agree with us and said, you're too young and what, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, they were, they were a lot, they were specific people that really like bombed us down or discouraged us, but there were quite a few. But definitely, and also sponsors were really a massive boost.
And
to
who
us.
Were some of your sponsors?
Who were some of our sponsors? Mentalhealth.org from South Africa. We have Carlisle Equestrian Park, which is our yard, our riding school. We have the Roemrijk SA Rupert Stad that sponsored our horses. I'm missing some. We had Arting App. Yeah, which is an app to sell your art, like almost like Instagram. Yeah, they sponsored us, and I think that's about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're on these horses, you're riding through South Africa. Was there any time that you guys were really scared?
There was once, yeah, that we got a fright, but that is about it. We rode the whole, well, a lot of the day.
I was scared so much, so many times.
No, but like really, yeah, but I mean the other times, it's not like scared. No, we were riding the whole day and we had to camp next to the road. We didn't find a real place to sleep. We like just camped in the on a farm. And we got one guy and he said, no, it's fine, we can camp there. Nobody lives on the farm, only him. He looks after the farm and we're like, okay. So we camped beside the stream. And it was getting dark, and all of a sudden there was like, I think about 8 guys, all armed with like sticks and stuff.
And chains.
Yeah, chains and I don't know, all funny stuff. And we're like, okay, what's happening? And I mean, I got up and it was like me and all these guys.
And like, not to be offensive, but you're not the biggest dude. Like, you're not going to scare anybody. You're very sweet and gentle with horses, but like, yeah, you're not a 7-foot imposing, you know, guy. So what happened?
Well, then an old man stepped forward and he was like, what are we doing here? And he gave us permission and he was like, really asking us out. And I was like, well, we came here and we needed a place to sleep. And I asked the guy up there, And he said, it's fine. Nobody lives here. And he's like, oh no, it's his farm. And he like wants to know what we're doing. And I told him the story of our trip. And I said, we just need to sleep here. We don't want to do anything else. And he's like, okay, no, it's fine. We just, he doesn't want the police to get here. And like,
okay, two minutes.
And he doesn't want, so he doesn't want the police getting here and all trouble. And I was like, no, we're not going to do anything. And oh, and he said something about stealing his cattle and like, not going to steal your cattle or anything.
Were you guys armed? Did you have any?
We're not licensed to carry arms. Okay. So we couldn't carry arms.
Because
so
everybody follows the rules in South Africa, right?
No, not really. But
So what was the most amazing thing? If that was the scariest, what was the coolest part?
The scenery.
Oh, they're looking lovingly into each other's eyes right now. You guys are so cute. Okay, sorry.
Well, for me personally, it was seeing, we went through some very vast open spaces that there was just nothing. The farms were so big, the distances were so long and everything. And just for me, most amazing was being on your horse in that much space and there's just nothing and it's just nature and you feel safe. And just to think about all the things you can do, actually.
Just put your mind to it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So do you think, wait, Hanalei, you turn around. Don't look at Beatrice right now. Do you think this trip strengthened your relationship or did you get like, okay, this is enough?
Yeah,
it did
strengthen. Yeah, I didn't ask you. I asked him.
Well, it definitely, I mean, it wasn't easy. Yeah. There were a lot of rough patches in the trip. And, but I think in the end, after the trip, it definitely strengthened our relationship.
And but, you guys were 83 days. I mean, you missed Christmas or you didn't spend your Christmas with your family. So that had to be.
I went home for.
You did.
Yeah.
I got gotcha.
I needed a break.
Your butt needed a break from the saddle. That's amazing. So just real quick, we got to wrap this up. But so why did you come here? You said it was your dream come true.
I stated earlier, people in South Africa need to be educated on how a horse thinks naturally. So that's, I've grown up in a very traditional way of handling horses. And since a little girl, it's just not what I wanted. And I always wanted to find a way to be able to teach this to South Africa for the horse. So in short, this is why I'm here, how I got here, that's a different story.
And then you came because she told you to, right?
No, not
really. Both you guys are really talented. By the way, if our whole competition that we had today, my little filly got a little wild with the stallion in the arena and decided she was in heat today. And I love her so, but Beatrice was the big winner and Holly came in second. You guys were amazing. Y'all did such a great job. It was beautiful to see you with your horses. And I know Hanalei is actually going up to where the horses came from to the rescue to help Maya sort everything out. And Beatrice, you're heading off to New York to learn how to ride Western. This is really cool. So you guys, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me about the trip. If people want to go find you, find React, Riding Expedition Against Cruel Training, where can they go?
Facebook, you type in React in capitals and then space trip.
Yeah. React trip sounds good.
React,
do you guys have websites or anything or just that?
Just that's Facebook. Facebook page.
That's a page. Well, good luck, you guys, on everything. I'm so happy to have met you.
Thank you.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, before we get to our guest, I just wanted to say with that interview, it's one thing, we followed here on the show over the years, over the last 9 years, we followed many people who have ridden across this country. It's one thing to ride across this country, and it's another thing to ride across Africa.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, forget animals. You've got all these different factions in all these different countries with lots of guns, and they all hate each other.
The very northern tip of South Africa to the southern tip of South Africa is just, it's over 1,000 miles of hate. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I loved it though, when you asked, what were you ever scared? And he said, all macho, oh, not really. And she's like, the whole time.
That was my favorite part. He's like, there's this one time. She's like, one time. I'm scared the whole time.
I don't think I could do that. They got more but guts. There's, oof.
Yeah, really good kid. Like, those are the kind of people that make you feel good about our future in the world, you know?
Yeah, and they're out just trying to change the world, and good for them. Good for them. Yeah. Well, riding across Africa from the tip to the bottom would be interesting, but then riding it side saddle would be make it more interesting. And we have Maggie joining us now, who's the president of the American Side Saddle Association. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning.
So have you ever done a long distance trip like for all across Africa or all across the United States side saddle?
Not quite that far, but I used to be an endurance rider, and I did it side saddle.
Did you really? Endurance riding?
Honest.
So, okay. Yeah. So did you do 100 miles?
3,000 miles altogether.
Really? I didn't know anybody did that. Well, okay, so that lends a lot of questions before we get into all the other ones we were going to start with. So if you're riding endurance side saddle, that position just looks uncomfortable because you got the horny thing that comes out and holds your leg in. I realize it looks sturdy, but it looks uncomfortable.
It's if the saddle fits you and fits your horse, it's like riding a couch.
Really? Okay. So what was the biggest challenge? Couch that moves a lot. What's the biggest challenge of riding endurance side saddle as opposed to with an endurance saddle?
Mounting from the ground. In a side saddle, your stirrup tends to be a little bit higher up. And if you have a tall horse, you just about have to dislocate something to reach it.
So are you always using a block to mount side saddle, pretty much?
Tree stump, big rock, stand the horse in a ditch. find somebody that looks like a sucker enough to leg me up. You know?
Can you get off your horse to help me on mine, please? Well, that's interesting. I'd never heard of that. You know, we do the show with, you probably know her, Karen Chatton, here once a month, and we talk endurance, but that's fascinating. Well, let's talk a little bit about side saddle. Obviously, side saddle in history goes back a long, long way. So can they nail down where it started and when?
Well, the legend is Catherine de' Medici. In the 1500s, she was an Italian lady and married to one of the Louis of France. I can't remember which number. But at that time, hunting was a different sport than we think of it today. Nobles would wear their very best, finest robes, and they would ride out into the forest. And servants with sticks would beat the game out of the wood, and the huntsman would shoot it. So it was more of an opportunity to be seen than actually jumping over things. And a lady's horse was typically led by a servant or by a gentleman on another horse. And the lady would have ridden in a saddle that looked a lot like a chair. And she sat facing completely sideways on her horse. And noble women would frequently have their horses saddled so that the chairs faced each other so they could talk to their friends. And
that's kind
of funny. Catherine was a kind of a forward-thinking lady, and she didn't like to be led and wanted to ride her own horse. So she turned and faced front and hooked her knee over the handhold on the side of her chair and picked up the reins and rode her own horse. So that's the legend. And from there, it developed to up through history, the 1700s. We had a young girl from, Massachusetts, Sybil Ludington. And she was a daughter of a Revolutionary War officer. And she did pretty much the same thing that Paul Revere did, except she didn't get caught by the British, and she rode twice as far. And she was 14 at the time and rode side saddle.
So now you see the movies and TV shows, which we know are all extremely accurate when it comes to horses. But you see them.
Of course.
Yeah, and in the 16, 1700s, if we watched the PBS and BBC and all the TV shows there about all the historical dramas, you'll see the horses or you'll see the women, some riding side saddle occasionally, mostly not. So which was accurate? Were they all riding side saddle back in the day, or were they riding astride as well?
Probably both, depending on the social status of the lady. You know, the average farmer's wife, if she needed to get from here to there, she threw a leg over a horse and probably rode bareback or, you know, with a feed sack or something over the horse's back. You know, she probably didn't have enough money to own a side saddle or any saddle.
Or any saddle, right.
Yeah, the wealthier women, depending on the era, 1700s is kind of when what we think of as a side saddle became easier to get and a little bit less expensive. So a better off lady would have had one. And then up into the 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, and the catalog companies, Sears and Roebuck, Montgomery Ward, turned out side saddles by the thousands.
Really?
And they were $3 or $4 each. So, you know, the growing middle class could afford one. Huh. And, you know, when you find someone, oh, I have my grandmother's side saddle. Well, it's probably from Sears and Roebuck or Montgomery Ward.
I did not know that. That's fascinating. So now you're obviously president of the American Side Saddle Association. How popular are side saddles today?
We are growing so fast that the saddle building industry can't keep up with us.
Why is that?
Right now,
so why? Why are you growing so fast?
I think a lot of it has to do with shows like Downton Abbey and Poldark, where there are ladies riding side saddle and women who've always seen, you see the paintings and things of ladies fox hunting side saddle and the beautiful old paintings. They're like, oh, I would love to do that someday. It doesn't seem possible until you see a post on Facebook that, oh, there's going to be a side saddle clinic in my town. I want to go learn how to do this. And then, oh, I don't want to go by myself. And I'll take my best friend with me. And next thing you know, they're hooked. And, you know, we have over 200 members.
So now we actually at Rolex, there's always one or two of the outriders across country that are riding side saddle. I think one of them's a listener of ours, actually, who listens to the show. So
yeah,
hello.
Samantha Peterson,
yes.
She's president of Kentucky. Yes, she's president of Kentucky Side Saddle.
And she's there every
year.
Which
is a regional affiliate of American Side Saddle Association.
Yeah, she's there every year, and it's so much fun to see her, and she always gets 1,000 questions. And I think that brings up, when we talk about side saddle occasionally here on the show, one of our longtime listeners, Michelle Barr, is a side saddle rider, and she's been listening to our show since the beginning. Whenever we talk about this topic, we get emails from people saying, I want to try it, but I don't know where. Where can I try it? So what's your answer to that when somebody says, you know, from wherever in the country, I want to try it?
You can go to our Facebook page, American Side Saddle Association, and post that you're interested in learning. We have instructors scattered all over the country, more east of the Mississippi than in the west, but we're growing in the west now also. And if you have five or six ladies that can get together and want to learn, we'll set up a clinic and come and teach you.
So I have a, I just
right
thought,
now,
yeah, go ahead.
Right now we have 9 more clinics scheduled for this year. And I've got, I think, 1 more free weekend to squeeze in another one.
I know Jennifer, my wife, has ridden side saddle before, but Jamie, you have not, correct?
No, but it's super interesting. I would love to give it a try.
Now, that leads me to the question, because Jamie's about 5'2" and some. Is it better? Mm-hmm. Is it easier if you're taller or shorter, or doesn't it matter?
Right now, because of the saddle building industry kind of falling behind, most of the antique size saddles that are available are smaller seats. So shorter is usually easier to find a saddle.
Yes.
You win this time, right, Jamie. For once in your life, you win.
But right now, we have the American Side Saddle Association has a tack consignment or a side saddle consignment business. And right now, I've got at least 3 saddles in stock that would fit ladies that might be as tall as 6 feet.
Okay. And now, how does the weight distribution different than a regular saddle? Because when you would see it, you would think that obviously we'd have more because they sit with their legs to the left. So would you just think, logic tells you, okay, there's going to be more weight pushing on the left side of the horse's body. But I'm assuming that the saddle's made that that's not the case.
The weight difference, it's not. There is a tiny bit more weight on the left, but your seat, we want our hips and our shoulders to be square with our horse, just as a stride. So the weight difference is really only however much your right leg weighs from the knee down. Everything else should be about the same.
Oh, okay.
And our weight is just a little bit farther back because a side saddle tends to be a bit longer. And a stride saddle is, well, to be honest, the size is based on the size of your butt, really.
Right, right.
A side saddle is how long your thigh bone is.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense.
You measure yourself, sit on a hard surface, like a bench or a table, and you measure from the bend of your knee to the back of your backside. And you add 1 inch. And then when you measure a side saddle, you measure from the front of the top horn to the back of the seat. And the measurement of your leg with the inch added should be about what the saddle is.
Okay, that makes sense because you don't want that to be too long or too short. Obviously, too short would be a problem. So, that does make sense.
You can ride a saddle that's a little bit too long for you. It looks kind of awkward. And some ladies can ride saddles that are a little bit too short for them, but if they're very much too short, they start getting very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, do men ride side saddle at all?
Yes. Historically, returning veterans from wars that had lost limbs or lost the use of a limb found riding side saddle to be possible or easier. After the Civil War, of course, we didn't have the VA medical system. We didn't have pensions. So those returning war veterans still had to make a living. We were conquering, the country was moving west. And those men had to move west with herds of cattle, settling homesteads, whatever. And if a side saddle made it possible for them to ride and get from here to there, that's what they did.
Well, very.
And today we're finding the same thing with therapeutic riding programs with our wounded warriors. Many of those men are able to ride side saddle when they wouldn't be able to ride at all.
You know, that makes sense. And it's kind of neat that they're being adapted for that very cool use at this point.
And I do have one very long saddle in the tack room right now. It was made in England in the early, probably about in the late teens, 1920s. And the label has a man's name on it. And this is a saddle built for a very tall person. And I think it was a man's saddle. I don't think it was made for his wife, and the saddler just put his name in it. I think it was his saddle.
Well, if you want to find out more about riding side saddle, contact the American Side Saddle Association. You can find it at the americansidesaddleassociation.org. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we got a few more people interested in side saddle.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, take care. And I know, Jennifer, you rode side saddle. When did you ride? You rode side saddle before. Was it up in Myopia? Up, Jen, you're on mute. Try that again.
Oh, there I am. I rode side saddle a little bit when I worked for Barbara. She occasionally showed in some side saddle class, and she actually hunted quite a bit side saddle.
Oh, that'd be thrilling.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried it a couple of times, and I'm thoroughly modern. No, not doing that.
Not coordinated enough?
I'm crazy hard.
Crazy hard? Yeah.
No, not even close.
I feel like if I was to ride side saddle, you have both your legs over on the left side. I feel like I would just fall off to the right constantly, all the time.
Did you find that, Jennifer? Were you constantly going right?
Well, I think that was what was weird about it, is you have to get used to using the left side of your body to maintain that upright position. And then that is kind of what you feel like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just too foreign. I'm sorry.
Yeah, people like Michelle that have done it and do it a lot love it. I mean, I guess it's like anything else. Once you get used to it, it's getting used to it.
I feel like if I ride side saddle,
I didn't feel like I was about to fall off, but I just, everything in my being kept going, this is wrong.
I feel like if I come back riding side saddle, I'm going to be like, excuse me, ladies, please get the tea ready. The horses have been here. I need you to go ahead and get, like, I would start speaking with an English accent.
I love the story about how they used to, basically, they were chairs facing each other so they could talk. That was bizarre. All right, let's take a little break to hear about all the plans. It is Rolex week. We are we're leaving on Wednesday. Jamie's getting in on Thursday. We have all kinds of plans with listeners over the weekend. Let's hear about those, and then we'll come back, and we're going to have a few minutes. We got to hear what Zeus did on Friday. Naughty boy. The Rolex three-day event is right around the corner, and for the ninth year, the Horse Radio Network will once again be providing coverage from Rolex. Thanks to our sponsors, WeatherBeta and AccuSuede. We will be bringing you two special episodes of Horses in the Morning from Rolex with the whole crew on hand. Jamie, Jen, and I will be there. I know, it's a tough assignment. We will put together a show on Friday and Sunday morning on the Horses in the Morning feed. Also, we are having a couple of listener meetups, one Friday night at the Grey Goose in Midway, a few exits from the horse park at 7:30. Cross Country Day, we will meet a half an hour before the start of Cross Country at Jump Number 1. That's become tradition. And then at 2 p.m. At the Horse Nation or Eventing Nation tailgate for trivia and prizes. We will announce that on Facebook before the event. We don't know where they'll be. Follow all the details by searching Facebook for HRN at Rolex, and you'll find our event page. WeatherBeta's Spring Turnout Blanket Collection features the latest in their Comfortech range. Not sure which turnout fits your horse's needs? Check out WeatherBeta's Blanket ID tool at WeatherBeta.com. Also find WeatherBeta products at Rolex at Bit of Britain, Horse Lovers, and One Stop Equine Shop. Does your horse have tight, sore muscles? Does he take a long time to loosen up in a ride? Is your horse in pain and recovering from competition or injury? Use AccuHorse Mat and see the results in as little as 15 minutes. Find AccuSuede and the AccuHorse Mat at booth 218 in the Rolex Trade Fair on the upper level next to the concessions. Rolex, baby. Here we come.
Oh my gosh. The best weekend of the year. It's just right around the corner.
Well, now
I gotta get packed again.
You posted a picture. I know. You posted a picture on Friday. It was your last day at Monty Roberts, and you had brought Zeus along. Was Zeus out by himself?
Yeah. So Zeus had to be put in kind of a different pasture every couple of nights because they constantly have horses coming and going, and he's kind of an afterthought. So it's like, oh, I'll stick him out here. And they have these little sand paddocks, but I told them, I said, he will not stay in a sand paddock. It's too small. It's not entertaining enough. He will be out of it. So they gave me a nice big pasture to turn him out in, and I was doing the show, and I turn him out at night because everybody, they bring their horses in. So he's kind of outside, and there he can see horses, but he's alone. And so I'm doing the show, and I get done with the show, and I'm driving out the driveway, and he's supposed to be in the pasture on the left. And I was like, oh, let me look at little Zeus. And I slow down. I'm like, Zeus, Zeusy, where the hell is Zeus? Huh? Like, I guess they needed the pasture. Somebody brought him in. So I'm keep driving out. I'm about to make a left out by like the main road. And I see a guy named Victor, and he's walking down the driveway leading Zeus. And at first I was like, what is he doing? And then I was like, oh no, he got out. So because if your horse gets out, or if your horse gets away from you, or you fall off, you owe the farm donuts. You have to buy donuts, and not just like grocery store donuts. You have to go to the donut shop and buy donuts. So it can be fairly expensive.
They have some good donut shops there.
Yeah. It's, you know, solving. So it gets expensive. So I get out of the car, the truck, I'm stopping. I was like, oh my God. And Victor looks at me and he goes, donuts.
It's the only thing he could care about.
Oh yeah. And apparently he had already texted a photo of Zeus while he was trying to catch him to all the girls that work there, saying all the caption said was donuts. So I get Zeus, and I thought, well, I'm like, he can open every gate. He's just, but I worked really hard to make sure that I wasn't going to have to buy donuts. Like, he'd already lifted a gate. The last time I was there, he and Thor got out because they lifted the gate off the hinges. So I was like really particular about what the gate looked like and how it was latched and everything. And apparently he could not unlatch the gates, and he could not pull it off of the hinges. So what he proceeded to do was, I guess later I found out the girls were like, yeah, around 7 o'clock this morning, we just saw him cantering around the pasture. No big deal. We thought, well, that's cool. He's just galloping around. Apparently after they drove by, he jumped out.
How tall was the fence?
A 5-foot fence.
Wow.
Solid 5-foot fence. There's one part in the corner where the ground kind of comes up. So I measured it, and it's probably like 4'9".
Wow, you need to be a little, you need to be doing something different with that horse. You need to move up.
He's getting there. He did scrape his stifles pretty good, so he didn't quite clear the fence. But on the other side, he landed in some deeper sand, so I think did not help.
You posted a picture of that, and the holes were about a foot deep where his feet landed. And I was like, is that the takeoff? Because it kind of looked like the takeoff. And then you said, no, that's where he landed.
That's the landing on the other side of the fence. I was standing on the one side, and I'm walking the fence. I'm like, okay, I've got to find out where he got out. And it was so obvious. There's like hair on the top of the fence. There's the big hoof prints on the backside. So he jumped out of the smallest part. So he was measuring. He weighed and measured this whole thing. And then on the backside, it wasn't pavement. It was sand. So he like jumped into the sandy area. It was quite calculated, if I may say so.
Okay, so now we have a horse, a Mustang, that can open every gate and every latch and every lock. And now if you fixed all of that and you've got that all buttoned down, he's just going to jump your silly fence.
So here's the thing. I was really frustrated and really upset and also kind of proud. Like, this... He can jump. See, Leslie Wiley's on here. Leslie, wouldn't you be kind of proud if Princess jumped a 5-foot fence to get out?
Yes. Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Pretty cool.
But you're also kind of like, oh God, how am I going to keep this? So fortunately, my fences here are 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. But Chad,
I'll give him another week. He'll figure that out. Now that he's got it in his blood. Look out.
We're building our next property. We're like working on the fence guy and trying to hire people. And he's like, oh my God, our fences just got more expensive, didn't they? And I was like, yep, at least one of them did.
You have to put up some of those like Jurassic Park fences.
Yeah,
I was thinking
of Trump's wall. Maybe you could get Trump to come over and just finish his wall right around your property.
Exactly. That'd be great. I will not pay for that wall. No.
Poor Jamie Zeus's figure. You know, I told the story before. We had a big gray horse that we got, and he would not stay in, and he was big. He was probably 17 and a half hands, and he would not stay in any fence. He would just fence hop from one pasture to the other and go hang out with whoever hell he felt like. Hey, and you could really? Not, once he figured it out, it was like, and he was an excellent jumper. He was a show jumper. So, you know, I often wondered, you see all these show jumpers with their horses, why do they stay in anywhere? They know how to jump that fence. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't think that he's ever needed to jump out. But he was alone, and he was like, I'm going to go make some friends. And the grass was tall. It didn't make any sense that he would want to leave. But he just, I'm out of here.
Well, Leslie is here. Leslie, how are you?
I'm great.
Jennifer's trying to get your guest on, so we'll chat with you for a minute here.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about Rolex a little bit, because we're also damn excited because it's Rolex week. When do you head out?
I'll head out because I live in Knoxville, just about 2.5 hours away, maybe, or 2 hours maybe. I'll head out and be there in time for the jog on Wednesday.
We all hate you for living 2 hours from there, by the way.
I know. So lucky.
You are. So what are you looking forward to? If you're going to give us a little bit of a preview, you've been writing for Eventing Nation a lot lately. What do we have to look forward to this weekend?
Well, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, we've got the Eventing Nation 5th annual tailgate party. Featuring a couple folks your listeners may know. You guys are hosting trivia at Rolex Trivia at 2. So we're really excited about that. And then all day long, we're going to have games and snacks and drinks and we've got some stuff up our sleeve, so just stop by.
And where is the tailgate? Where is your tent?
Well, this year
this will be cross country day.
Yeah, this year Rolex opened up a new section because tailgate's
huge. We tried to get a tent, we couldn't. Yeah.
And so they opened up a new section this year that they're calling the Platinum section. And so we sprang the big bucks for a couple of side-by-side spots in the Platinum section, which is by the jog, like near the, you know, there's the sort of overlooking the infield. There's like a steeplechase sort of like a tower tower.
Yeah, and there's a big screen. They usually put a big screen up there too.
Yeah. So that's where we're going to be, and you can check out, you know, we'll have all details and maps up on Eventing Nation this week. So
that's where our listeners can go to Eventing Nation. They'll find a post about where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm, that's okay. Right.
All right, good. That's the best way to do it. We'll try and share that one if we see it. And
I'm so excited.
That's an area that never had tents before, right? Never had tailgate there. They were always down on the other side of the Land Rover.
Yeah. They just opened up a whole new section, I think.
That's good views from up there. You get to see several jumps from there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, I was really asking about the riders, but drinking's fine. We can talk about that.
Well, partying, yeah. And there's, you know, and the writers. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm so excited.
Who are you watching? Who's your person this weekend?
I mean, I'm such a sucker for Michael Young and that little mare. So that's, I don't know. It's hard for me to pick favorites. I always root for the first timers. I just did, for the Chronicle of the Horses, Rolex preview issue. I did a story on Courtney Cooper, who's competing a horse that she bred herself 14 years ago, her first foal. Now she's since then bred, you know, has really developed a great breeding operation. But her first homebred, who's a star, you know, did his first Rolex in 2015 and then is coming back for 2.0 this year. And Courtney's just such a cool story. You know, she's just one of those like hard worker, scraped her way up to the top, and nobody is more humble or, you know, gracious, or, you know, no one is a better horsewoman than Courtney. You can tell how much she loves her horses. It comes through and, you know, the way she, you know, she talks about them, the way she, when you see her on her horse, when you see her interacting with her horses. So, I'm extra rooting for her and was really honored that I got to tell her story.
That's terrific. I love hearing about the, you know, we all know the Boyd Martins of the world, right? So it's nice to hear about the others, you know, the ones who really have fought their way up and are there now. Yeah, we're following our spotlight eventer for the 2018 WEG show that Samantha and I do about the World Equestrian Games in 2018. We always pick one up-and-comer that's never been to WEG before, is Hannah Sue. And, you know, she is just setting the world on fire with about 85 horses right now. So, so she's always also one that, you know, we're looking for, and it should be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah.
Well, we have something else coming up later this year. Or you do. We're not going to be there, but we'll be rooting you on. And I think this bumper Jennifer made really applies to today's guest.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie.
Failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not.
Your guest is ready.
I am so excited about today's interview. We've got Maddie Smith. She competed in the Derby last year, and she is the craziest of the crazy in my book, because the stars didn't quite align for her, but she is coming back for more in 2018. Like, you can't keep this girl down. So I'm really excited to talk to her and hear her story. Hey, Maddie, have we got you?
Excited to be on the show. Hello.
So tell us about you're from California.
I'm from California, live in San Francisco, and basically just have been riding my whole life and found the Derby as a fun thing to do. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of riding do you do? When you're not riding.
I grew up doing. I'm totally new to endurance. I had never done endurance before. I'm a 100 jumper rider. Like, grew up doing the A circuit in Los Angeles, like all throughout California, and rode through college, did IHSA, and then kind of fell out of it for a couple years when I was working, and then looked to find something new, and I randomly found the Derby. So,
mm-hmm.
Whole new experience.
And so what made you want to sign up for it in the first place?
Honestly, I don't know. I like doing these big adventurous trips. And, it's like a big adventure that involves horses, and it seems like a challenge. And, a friend actually from my riding team in college had sent it to me and said, you know, this looks like something you would do. This looks really fun. And so I filled out the application kind of on a whim. Forgot about it. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call saying that I'd been accepted, and I was ready for the second interview. And so I talked to Katie, the organizer. They sent in my photos. We talked on the phone for at length, and kind of just agreed right then and there, okay, I'm going to Mongolia.
Wow. That sounds a lot like my story. It's like kind of on a whim, didn't think like, you know, anything would really come of it. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, now I guess I'm actually doing this.
Exactly. Like, once I send in the deposit, I mean, I was like, okay, here we go. It's real.
So your preparations, like what all did you do in the lead up to prepare yourself, I guess, you know, mentally, physically, for the Derby?
It was hard. I mean, I had never done any, you know, the longest I've been on a horse is, you know, at a horse show, like when you're riding all day, you're riding a couple different horses, but it's very different riding. And so I started looking for endurance trainers in the Bay Area and went on a couple long rides. It was nice because there's a couple other riders also from the U.S. That were going to the Derby. And so we got together a couple times. Marsha Hefker is awesome. She was one of the winners. She took us to a couple longer endurance rides, like 50 mile, and let us ride her awesome horses. And she was a great, you know, resource getting ready because she's basically a professional endurance rider. And she was a great just friend, you know, going into this. And on my own, I did a lot of training. I rode at the Stanford Red Barn and just kind of tried to get as much saddle time as I could. And, you know, did Soul Cycle, did all these silly little workouts to just basically build endurance. But I felt ready. I mean, I felt really good when I got there. So just a lot of saddle time.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of saddle time. And then exactly. tell us what, I know you probably don't exactly remember what happened because there was a concussion involved, but tell us about the race itself.
Okay. Anytime you hear there was a concussion involved, that's not a good story. It's nothing good.
No, it is a good story. Usually they just don't remember.
Exactly. No, it has a happy ending. I mean, the race was going great. I was having a great time. It's honestly one of the coolest things I've ever done. I was having so much fun. And the end of day two, I mean, we were pacing great. We were making good time. And it was the last leg. So we were going from 6 to 7. And I don't remember what happened, but I think I crashed. I'm not exactly sure. But when I, you know, kind of came to woke up, I was basically the doctors had already come. I had pushed my button. I don't remember pushing my, you're basically a little SOS button. So I'd pushed that, but I don't remember doing that. And I woke up, you know, I had an IV in my arm. Like they had taken my shirt off and my helmet was to the side. My horse was there, which was cool because my horse didn't run away. And, you know, I'd thrown up on myself. So I woke up and it was kind of surreal. I mean, it's kind of like, what has just happened? But the medical team they have there is awesome. I mean, they really made me feel taken care of. I didn't doubt them for a second. And we basically made the decision that I should go back to Ulaanbaatar and be treated at the hospital. And what was nice is I didn't have to be airlifted. A couple people did. So I was happy not to have to go in a helicopter. And we drove, 5 hours through the night, through windy roads in Mongolia, back to the hospital. I threw up in the basically it's like an adventure ambulance, I guess you would call it. And they were great. The hospital was great. So I mean, it's a gnarly story, but it was,
oh my goodness,
it still feels a little surreal.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were not alone. I was looking at the results of last year's race, and I think there looked like there are maybe 40 starters and 14 retired along the way. So that's more than a quarter, right? You know,
like it was a lot. And so Katie said that was the most like broken bones that they've had. This, last year was the most, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, it's just,
like one thing that I'm not, you know, like I feel like I've not quite gotten my head wrapped around is, so okay, so 14 riders retired. What are, you know, we've done interviews with winners, we've done interviews with the organizers, like I think we've heard a whole lot of success stories, and I can't quite get anyone to tell me like, so, but what about the other one? You know, I'm sure there are some horse falls like yours, what gets people?
I mean, I think it was a lot of fatigue as well, just muscles and legs and just, I mean, I don't think physically we're built to do this. So it's pushing your body. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lot of that. And just, a lot of people, I think, you have enough bad falls and you need to take care of yourself. I mean, finishing, it's a fun race. You know, it's not worth hurting yourself if you don't have to, basically. So right. That sounds silly, I guess, coming from me, but I really think it was just a lot of fatigue and crashes and just exhaustion.
How much of it was the fermented mare's milk?
Eric, oh my gosh. I was nervous for that going into it. And the first night, so I basically only had one night sleeping out on the race because I crashed on day two. And so the first night with the family was awesome. I mean, they were so nice. They brought us wonderful food, this huge spread. And they had made us Eric with basically a ton of Russian vodka poured into it. And so it kind of took the taste. I feel like it, for some reason to me, that made it easier to drink, just knowing that was in there and it wasn't just milk. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So don't be too worried about that.
Okay.
She's not worried about that at all, I can promise you. She's excited about it.
I'm excited to stretch.
Yeah. It's awesome. I still had a great experience. I think I just had some bad luck. The second I knew I was fine and was stable, I was okay. I think I wanted to get back out there. So going back next year.
Yeah. So you're going back next year. Like that's so awesome. and I guess was there ever any sort of like doubt in your mind where a point where you were like, you know what, that was enough Mongol Derby for me for one lifetime, or were you just like ready to go back at it?
I think I was just ready to go back at it. I was frustrated. It's just, you spend so much time preparing. And then, just to have it, I love this idea of this big adventure, and just to have it cut on day two is just, just a bummer. There's no really other way to describe it. And it was awesome. I mean, I think we all kind of know the risks riding horses, and it's just something that, I mean, you could just be walking back to the barn and your horse could trip. So, you might as well be in Mongolia. So,
right. Exactly.
Now, how much? I have a question for you because we've talked about this with the number of the guests too. Is you're only allowed to carry 11 pounds on your pack, and that's not a lot at all. I mean, so are you carrying all your water? Are you bringing stuff to filter water? What did you take along?
So what's nice is that water isn't included in those 11 pounds. So that is just an additional weight that you can have. You can basically just have 11 pounds of, your backpack and gear. And so the water that they have at the stations has been boiled. But most people also bring iodine tablets or this electronic filter. I brought iodine tablets and it was fine. You also bring, I'd say mainly people had, kind of like medication and self-care items. I mean, Band-Aids, ACE wraps, anti-inflammatories, Neosporin. Also, what else did I bring? A lot of just like really high, high caloric energy bars, I guess I would say. That's probably what I had the most weight in, just because I'm someone that if I don't eat a lot of food, I definitely get hangry. So I had to kind of keep the calories up. And so also what else did I have? You have a change of clothes, another pair of shoes, your sleeping bag. And that's basically it. I mean, a raincoat, you really don't need that much. I think going into it, I was thinking I'd want all these options in my bag, just to have. And of course I was only out there for, 2 days, but after talking to most people, you really don't need that much. Mm-hmm. It's just the necessities and you're not going to be comfortable. There's really nothing else you can bring to make it that much better.
Mm-hmm. You guys need to ride together. Y'all are so similar.
I know. Cool. I wish you were coming this year.
I do too. I really wish I was coming again. I really, it's so fun to see everyone training now. And I'm definitely jealous. Absolutely.
And so tell me, like, about the horses. Obviously, big difference between Mongolian horses and, like, the horses that you're going to find at the end gate of a, you know, A-rated hunter jumper show.
Yes.
what were they like?
I love them. I mean, they're small. They're a lot smaller than I thought that they were going to be. And they're super, super quick. They're so fast. I mean, it's awesome. I've never ridden something that just wants to go that much. And I think what's cool is we talked about this, how basically their only job, but one of their main jobs out there is just to get people from A to B as fast as they can. And so they know that once you get on and kind of leave home, it's time to go. And so it's awesome. You just basically hold on and point on where you want to go. And it's not complicated riding. I mean, you basically, there's brakes and you've got a little bit of turning and basically you have a gas pedal. But they're awesome. I mean, they're smooth and comfortable and they're close to the ground, which is nice. I'd say getting on them was probably the scariest thing for me. But you know, you get used to it after a couple, but that definitely was, just cause they're so wild. I mean, you can just tell just the way that they act. And, it's nice because the herders will kind of, you know, hold the reins while you get on. And then, you know, once you're on, I think I felt safer being on the horse than just kind of like being around them. You know, you just feel like you have more control. Mm-hmm. So, they were awesome. I rode great horses. Actually, the horse that I fell on, was one of my favorites. So it's just, the terrain is hard and there's just, you're in Mongolia. So
yeah.
There's a lot going on.
And the one you fell from, it sounds like Lassie or something, like just stood by you. It didn't run off.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, I wish I knew what had happened. I mean, it just, who knows? I mean, maybe he tripped. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, when I woke up, he was standing right there. So he was a good boy. It was awesome.
Yeah. Is there anything you think you might do differently, like second go rounds in your training or what you head out with, your gear?
Honestly, I don't think so. And so I think that's part of the reason why I'm so excited to go back. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, when I got there, I felt so ready. And it's, you know, of course, like, this is such a fun adventure and just signing up for it, you know, I think my mentality this last time and definitely again, is like, I just wanted to have fun. And so I felt physically ready though. I mean, all of my gear was great. Like, I'm not going to change any of my gear. The training was great. I really think that, I don't know, I was so ready. And so that's why it's so frustrating that mm-hmm. I only had 2 days. So mm-hmm. I want to go back.
Rematch. <So. laughs> That's awesome. That's exactly. Awesome. I feel like I'm like, oh yeah, like this is like tough horse girls, you know, like you're like, whatever. I felt like broke some ribs, had a concussion. You know what I'm going to do next? Make plans to go back. That's right. Do it again. Rematch. It's awesome. It's
really, I mean, you meet a lot of cool, tough people. It's a really like cool group of people that are out there, and it's a cool, there's definitely like a little Mongol Derby community and everyone's still talking and friends and very supportive, and it's awesome.
How are the Mongolian hospitals?
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I was, I went to SOS International Hospital, and I think that's where they send basically all the Derby people. I was the first one to go in, but they're like, yeah, we'll be getting a couple more. Don't worry. And basically I didn't think of this before, but Mongolia has a lot of, you know, adventure travel. There's a lot of people that are, you know, motorcycling across Mongolia. There's a lot of really long bike rides. And so a lot of, you know, international travelers that do get hurt. And so, I mean, the facility was amazing. I got a CAT scan, I had x-rays. I thought all of my doctors were amazing. The food was good. So, I felt completely taken care of, and, you know, they did a great job. They were like really, communicative with my doctors back at home, and, kind of helped me figure out travel plans of how to get home and, you know, what I needed to do. And they were awesome. I mean, I felt so, so safe and taken care of there. And I think mm-hmm. other people too that I've talked to that, you know, also got injured, they said they had the same experience at that hospital, but it was mm-hmm. awesome. I mean, it just felt like being at home. Huh. So,
well, that's good to know.
Yeah. I was.
That's good to know, Leslie.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, they do a good job. And the Prometheus Medical, the medical team that the Derby uses, I mean, was awesome, completely competent. They basically, from my understanding, do like all these big adventures. Like they rescue people from kind of the worst situations. And I mean, they did with me and it was awesome. So
basically,
I was very happy.
They give you one of those lifeline buttons, like you see in the commercials, I've fallen and I can't get up. And that you press that and they come, they magically show up.
Exactly. I mean, I don't remember pushing mine, but yeah, they do.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
Exactly. There's different levels too of the button. So there's two different buttons. So there's one, it's like you're okay, but you know, you just need some assistance. Like maybe you lost your horse. And then there's also kind of like that, like I need immediate help button and become, I mean, you're never really alone. There's always some adventurous car. You never see them, but they're, you don't ever feel like you're completely alone, which I think is kind of comforting.
Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time. Yeah. I have one more question for you. Did you get a refund for the 7 days you didn't use to apply to the next one?
I wish. I wish. No.
No.
We've been real nice.
And are the hospital stays included in the price, or is that extra?
They are not. You have to have insurance, international insurance, I think, to do the Derby, and it came in handy for me. So
there you go. Well, keep that in mind, Leslie. You have to start shopping for that too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I've been just stalking you on your Facebook page, and you don't mind if we use one of your pictures. There's a really cool picture of you riding by waving, so we'd love to use
that. Course,
yeah, that'd be terrific. It was a great picture.
Problem.
Well, thank you, Maddie.
Thank you so much. So great to meet you, and good luck next year. You got
thank
it.
You
got
this, this year. I mean, it is awesome. So
tell your
so
horse not
fun.
To fall down this time.
Yeah.
Whisper in his ear.
Right. Like. Okay.
We'll see you, Maddie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Maddie.
Okay. Did that help or hurt?
Oh, that was awesome. Like, those are kind of my favorite stories, you know, like things didn't go my way. And you know, but. You know, she's just like, sounds like such a tough, cool, like
it's
horse
pretty
girl.
Much the story like, of all of us here on the show.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah, exactly. Like against all common sense, you know, like a rational person would be like, nope, that was cool. That was a fun, you know, fun, 48 hours of my life until it wasn't. And that's good enough for me, but nope. She's coming back for more. I love it. Like that.
Well, and two, it was good to kind of, even though she had that experience, she is, like you said, coming back for more, but she also probably made you feel good because she's like, you're not alone. You're never alone. There's always somebody around. You're going to be fine. You're not going to die.
Right.
That was cool.
Yeah. Nobody's going to leave you for dead out there. That's
exactly.
Good. Unless you're actually
dead. I was calculating, though. She drank the mare's milk the night before she fell off and started throwing
up.
I was trying. Did you calculate that, too? I was going in my mind.
I didn't make that connection.
Yeah. She fell off the next morning. So, yeah. Just saying.
Well, I don't know. I you know, when I went hunting in England with Lady Martha last year, I think that it was some pre-gaming drinks that actually got me through it. So I'm not sure that I subscribe.
So
to.
You're still going with the wine bra then? We're still
going with the wine bra.
Well, Leslie, we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Everybody go to eventingnation.com for all the coverage of Rolex. You'll find it there. We're doing two shows as well. We're going to do a show Friday morning and a show Sunday morning. They won't be on the live feed, but we'll do them. And we'll put them out on our feed. They just won't be live. And we'll hope that you'll stop by at some point, either Friday or Sunday, and say hi on the show.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. Was hoping you would ask.
Well, you're definitely
invited.
Never
mind. We're busy. We're all booked up.
We'll see you this weekend.
Bye, you know it.
Take care.
Bye.
She's so much fun. And what a great guest. Maddie sounded terrific.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, let's go over schedule here a little bit. Tomorrow morning, we have the Western Show. Denise, our guest wrangler, is going to be sitting in and co-hosting tomorrow morning. Starting next month, Tara, who did the coverage with me at Road to the Horse, is going to officially take over the spot as the host of the Western episode every month. So Tara Carter is going to be joining us. She lives out in the middle of nowhere on a farm in New Mexico. And I talked to her the other day. I said, well, you know, you have to have internet. She said, what are you kidding? I have fiber. I went, what? How do you have fiber living in the middle of a farm in New Mexico? But anyway, so apparently she has really good internet and that shouldn't be a problem.
That's awesome. I want that.
Yeah, me too. So she'll be joining us. So that's kind of neat. Everybody loved Tara and she's terrific and she knows a lot of people. So she's going to be bringing her own Western guests to the table as well. From Wednesday through the following Wednesday, we are not going to be live. So starting Wednesday through the following Wednesday, we will have shows for you. We have a new Horse Husbands episode for you. That's a lot of fun this Thursday, Friday, and of course Sunday we'll be coming to you with shows from Rolex, and then Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Those are live, right? We're live on Friday morning.
No, we are not. We are not live. It's like last year, we'll be recording them and then putting them out immediately after. So because the internet is just not reliable. Yeah, the internet's not reliable there. So we'll be recording them and we'll have them by noontime, both of those days. And we just couldn't do it. It was just, it's not reliable internet. We've tried it in years past and it was iffy. So we thought, let's put out a good recorded show as opposed to a half crappy live show. So that's what we're going to do, and it should work out really well. And we're looking forward to bringing that to you. And then Monday and Tuesday of next week, we're going to be traveling, and we will be dark on those days. So we'll be traveling, getting back home, and then coming back to you the following Wednesday. So that's the schedule here in Horses in the Morning. It's always one of our favorite times, and I know we have a lot of listeners that we're looking forward and auditors that we're looking forward. Some are already there. Some have traveled in early. So that's we're looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend with all of our different meetups. That's it. I'm done talking.
You did a great job.
It's my birthday. I'm going to do something else now.
What are you planning today?
We have so much work to do today to get ready for Rolex. So we got to get all the shows ready. So we pretty much celebrated yesterday. We went to see a movie yesterday. So that's what we did. And I will give you a quick review, and this will help some people save a few dollars. We went to see the movie Going in Style, which has a huge all-star cast in it. And that's why we went to see it. And it was a really cute movie that you can wait till it comes out to video. Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Alan Arkin. It had Matt Dillon, Christopher Lloyd. And it's about this bank robber, old guys robbing a bank. I'm not giving anything away. That was in the trailer. It's called Going in Style. And it was really cute, very predictable, and you can wait till video. So I saved you a few dollars.
Right there you go. Good.
That's my review.
That sounds like a good birthday movie.
See you on Thursday.
All right. I'll see you then. Happy birthday, buddy. Appreciate you. Everything you do, and thanks for having me, and I'm happy for it. It's your birthday.
Well, you owe me a hug on Thursday, okay?
Okay.
All right, see you
then.
Good. See you again, everybody.
Bye, Neutergeld.